Come on. Did y'all read that at the end? There is a sign-up sheet there in the back. Didn't want to do so good. Wow, man, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. I got an opportunity to see that yesterday, and when it was done, it was over, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you was that bad. I cleaned that up some, didn't I, Wanda? Anyway, if you would like to participate in that, there's a sign-up sheet, and just put your name down there. We'll contact you for when he'd be able to do that. Anyway, passing out Bibles and bulletins. If you didn't get one of those or a pen, raise your hand. These guys here will come through and give you something to write with. And a bulletin, please get one of those bulletins. There's some fill-in-the-blanks and stuff like we do normally on here. But I would like for you to be able to take that home and look over it tomorrow, especially tomorrow. Next month, if you haven't noticed, each month we've been having a new theme, a new thing that everyone that brings a message here talks about. It's a major heading. Each sermon is titled differently, but they're all under a same heading. And next month, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And you'll see that the title of the messages are all maybe different because they're written by different people, but the theme is the same. And my wife, Trina, will be bringing the message next week. I think it's the second time that she's ever done this. I'm really excited about it. And let me tell you something. That woman knows a little something about forgiveness. She really does. If you can be here, please be here for that. She really does. Okay, Julie. Just because you were there. Okay, if you will turn to your Bibles and turn to Matthew 16:24. And I love to use my phone, my Bible app, because I can jump in between translations. And it makes it a lot easier. Otherwise, you have to have three or four, how many ever versions you want to look at, different Bibles on hand. And so I prefer to use my phone when I'm doing some study or trying to look up something. But tonight, I'm going to read Matthew 16:24 from three different versions. And see if you've heard this before. And I'm sure you have if you've been around church any amount of time. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the New King James Version. That's how I grew up hearing that. Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And then several years ago, John's dad left me a Bible. It's the New Century Version, but I hear tell that there's some folks in this family that have renamed it the New Shea Version. It's the NCV. But thank God that I did get that Bible because it opened up different things that I didn't really understand. It is spelled out even more clearly. In the NCV, the same exact scripture is said like this. Then Jesus said to his followers, if people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. Let me repeat that. They must give up the things they want. They must be willing even to give up their lives to follow me. And that sounds a little different, don't it? The NIV, the one in your lap, if you got one of the Bibles we passed out a while ago, it sounds like this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Take up their cross and follow me. Deny themselves. Take up his cross. In the NCV, I got a little clarity. So, in the New King James Version, it says, deny yourself. And in the NCV, it says, give up the things you want. Let's write this down. This is the first fill in the blank. What does all that mean? What does all that mean? It means become selfless. Putting others before ourselves and putting God, Jesus, before anything else. Putting God and Jesus above all. Above everything that we might want or do. Jesus and God needs to be at the head of that. Along with that, putting others before ourselves. Man, that's kind of a hard thing, man. Basically, that's what got me in recovery. That's what got me here, is not putting others before myself. Being selfish and self-centered. In the AA Big Book, on page 62, it says, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our trouble. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. Self, me, my. That was me, 100%. You know why I know this? Is because when I finally was like, oh my gosh, I need to surrender, I need to do something different, I don't know what, but I need to do something different. Trina picked me up, she took me to the hospital, they set me down and they said, do you feel like you're gonna hurt someone else or yourself? And I said, no, I would never hurt myself. I like me. At the same time, I thought I was a big piece of crap. But it was still about me. No, I wouldn't hurt myself. Look at me. I'm all that. And then at the very same time, I'm not all that. Then I came into recovery and found out that selfishness and self-centered, everything is about me, is what's killing me. It's the root of my entire existence. It's the root of my problem. So what do I do to get rid of that? I start putting others first, and I start putting God above everything else. Well, then we come to take up your cross. The NCV says, be willing to give up your life. See, in Jesus' time, we wear these beautiful, shiny crosses. We have, at our house, we have a cross wall that we look at, and oh man, and we find us a new cross. We'll go out on vacation and we'll go into one of the little gift shops and we'll see these real pretty crystal crosses or something like that. And we'll have to buy that because it's so beautiful. We need to take it home and we need to put it on our mantle or we hang it on the wall. But in Jesus' time, this was not beautiful. This was not a thing of joy or happiness or hope. In Jesus' time, it was an instrument of death. See, whenever I read that, and throughout years, I heard the saying, take up your cross and follow Jesus. I always thought, well, he's saying, you know, bring your burdens, bring your addictions, bring your all your sin, bring that and bring it to the cross, take up your cross. And that's not what it meant at all. The NCV cleared it way up. It says, be willing to give up your life. Write this down. It literally means be willing to die to follow Jesus. Be willing to die to follow Jesus. You know, there was a, I don't know, several weeks ago, I gave a message about, in the message, there was this church that a man walked into, and he was shooting people. And he would ask them, "Do you believe in Jesus?" Because the first thing he said when he walked in is, "This is a bunch of crap. Who's y'all crazy believing this? And if you said I believe, he'd shoot you." And I asked that question that night. What would you do? What would you do with a gun to your head? Fight. Yeah, that's what I said that night. I would probably fight. I would hope that I'd say I love Jesus, that I'm a follower. But I'd probably end up dead anyway because I'm going to fight the man. It literally, take up your cross literally means to be willing to die, to follow Jesus. Aren't you glad that we don't live in one of those countries where we can meet like this? There are countries that when Christians meet, they have to make sure they're underground or it's a secret hideout so they can meet together, because if you're found out, you could end up dead. Golly, I think about stuff like that sometimes, and I'm like, I'm not up against that. I'm not up against that, but yet it's so hard to continue to do right. It's so hard to follow. And there's people who work at it to do right, and they have to hide their Christianity. They have to hide that they're a follower of Jesus because they're in fear of being killed. I'm not so sure that I would jump into all that. Thank God I live where I live. But I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. If you've taken step three, you've taken up your cross. Listen to step three. Step three says, you made a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. And that's a fill in the blank. And I specifically underlined your life in that, because I wanted you to write that down. You've made a decision to turn over your life. It's not yours anymore. You've given up your life. You've turned it over to God. You've turned your life over to Jesus to start running, right? And so you don't own it anymore. Your life is not yours anymore. I started thinking about, how would this work? The other night we saw Brett here propose. And if he got down on his knees and gave Jessica the ring, and she took it and said, "Thank you, yes, we're married. We're going to get married." And then by the time he made it out that door, grabbed her hand and took it back off. Wait a minute. That wasn't his. He gave it away. And I know that I've seen people in a marriage, in a divorce, the husband try to get that ring back, and the judge don't grant it. You don't get that ring back. It's done. So when you give something away, it's someone else's at that point. I gave it to you. Well, you're going to give your life over to God, over to Jesus. In step three, you're taking up your cross. Your life is not yours anymore. I want you to look at Matthew 16:25. It's the very next piece of scripture. Now, I'm going to read it out of the New Shea Version. And it says, those who want to save their lives will give up true life. And those who give up their lives for me will have true life. So if you want to save your life, you give up your truth that's right now. If you're not in Jesus, if you're not in God, my life outside of God, I know what it looks like. It's pretty horrible. It's bad. It's it's awful outside of God. And that was my truth. That was my true life. And when I decided to do step three, when I decided to turn my will, my life over to the care of God, I gave up that life. And I got a new true life in Jesus. That's what that means. So you give up, you take up your cross, and you get new life. I want some of that. See, and I say this often. God, if you start out your Christianity, your Jesus walk, you start out your God walk, if you start out reading in the Old Testament, Lord help you. Because the God of the Old Testament, he didn't take none. Nope. He didn't take none. You did what he said or you died. That's it. I think about Lot's wife. Will just preached about that last week. She looked back. She looked back at the city where she used to live, where she had friends and people. She looked back at them and God turned her into a pillar of salt. I think about Uzzah. Now, granted, they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant the wrong way. They should have had poles ran through it, and they're supposed to carry it a certain way. They'd set it on a cart and was dragging it down a cobblestone road, right? Uzzah was walking beside it. You're not supposed to touch it. It started to fall off the cart. He reaches up to touch it, and he vanishes. Gone. God doesn't put up with nothing in the Old Testament. He had this bar that's way up here that us humans could never reach. We never could reach it. So then he sent Jesus to lower that bar. Through Jesus' death, we can skate by through grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. That's the only way. Through Jesus' death, grace and mercy. Jesus gave up himself so that we could live forever. So that we don't get zapped like Uzzah did. We don't get turned into a pillar of salt like Lot's wife. That's what Jesus did for us. He was a sinless sacrifice. What did that look like? And what did Jesus go through? Matthew 27:27-31. And this is after he was arrested. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's palace, and they all gathered around him. They took off his clothes. And they put a red robe on him. Using thorny branches, they made a crown. They put it on his head, and they put a stick in his right hand. Then the soldiers bowed down before Jesus and made fun of him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on Jesus. Then they took his stick and began to beat him on the head. After they finished, the soldiers took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. And the first thing they did is they draped a red robe over him, and they took his clothes off first. So standing there without anything on, they took a piece of red cloth. I'm sure it wasn't a very valuable red robe. They're not going to waste that on Jesus. But they got something that was a piece of red cloth, and they threw it around him, mocking him and making fun of him, because the red and purple material represented royalty. And so they threw something on him to represent royalty. Then they made a crown. They made a crown out of some thorny branches, is what Scripture says. I had breakfast with Michael Hill earlier this week, and we was talking about the crown, and he was telling me about the thorn bushes that are over there in Jerusalem and in that area, and how they were really long thorns. And my dad made this one. I think he did a pretty good job of it. And every year, I bring this stuff out every year at Easter, and it stays put up all year long. It stays put up all year long. But the week leading up to this moment right now, I pull this stuff out and I look at it and I hold it. Oh, man. And then I read that and I look at this and I couldn't imagine something like this being smashed down on my head. And see, I've shown this to y'all several times too, but I'm the only one that ever touches it. And so tonight there's something about when you put it in your hands. I want y'all to pass that around. Be real careful with it. The thorns are sharp and long if you're sitting next to a kid. I think all the kids are out of here. But put that in your hands. It's something. It does something different when you touch it. And I don't notice that, and I don't recognize it until around this time every year when I pull that thing out and I hold it. And I'm like, golly. It says they put a stick in his right hand, and I looked around my house, and this is I had this sitting over in a corner, and I'm sure the stick that they handed him wasn't this shiny, but they put a stick in his hand, and I was wondering, well, why would you do that, and I started thinking about kings and the staffs that kings hold, you know, they're usually made out of gold. And so a stick was the closest thing they could grab and throw in his hand and make fun of him with. And then Scripture says they took that stick and they beat him with it, that they hit him all over his head with it. I've talked to people and I've read things where they said that by this time that he was unrecognizable, that they pulled his beard out and they beat him up so bad that he didn't even look like a man anymore. In verse 26, it says they beat him with whips. And we think of a whip, and we've seen whips on TV and shows, but that's not what they were using. They were using something like this. It has bones and metal in it. It's called a cat of nine tails, and I looked it up and what it all had in it, and it has glass and metal and and bones from animals and such as that. And when they swung it, on his back, it dug in. It stuck. And then they would pull. Pieces of flesh would come off. And then they led him away to be crucified. John 19, verse 17, it says, carrying his own cross, Jesus went out to a place called the place of the skull, called Golgotha, carrying in his own cross. You know, I just told you about how they beat him with a whip that ripped the flesh off his bone. They hit him 39 times with that because it was known that 40 times usually kills a man. And so after all that, and after all being beat up, he was to carry that cross on his back up to where he was going to be crucified. Matthew 27, 32, it says, as the soldiers were going out of the city with Jesus, they forced a man from Cyrene named Simon to carry the cross for Jesus. What that tells me is Jesus had this thing strapped on his back. After he had done faced all that, he had it strapped on his back, and he's giving it all he's got. He's giving it every ounce that he has. And the only reason to do that is so that you can live forever, so that that bar is lowered, so that we don't get zapped or turned into a pillar of salt. It's the only reason he's doing it. And his father asked him to. Right in the middle of all that, trying to make it, the Roman soldiers saw that he was really struggling, and we need to get this thing on. We need to get it on. So they chose a man out of the crowd. They pointed at him and said, get over here. You're chosen. We need you to carry this cross. We need you to help carry this cross on up the hill to where we're going to crucify this man. When they got to the place called Golgotha, they laid Jesus. They laid him down on that cross, and they took something like that probably, right? And then they drove nails. They drove nails into his hands and into his feet. They stuck him, literally stuck him, to a cross. And he hung there till he died. See, tomorrow's Easter. I call this Easter Eve. But tomorrow's Easter, and there'll be people gathered up at different homes, my whole family will be. We'll be at my mom's house and Mom and Nim's, and we'll have some chili, we'll have some candy, and we'll do an adult Easter egg hunt because it's cool. Amen. We'll have a large time, man, being with family and everything. See, Easter's not about rabbits, eggs, and candy and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people who don't even know that. There's a whole lot of people who don't even know that. Matthew 28, 1 through 7. It tells us what we will actually be celebrating tomorrow. The day after the Sabbath day was the first day of the week. At dawn on the first day, Mary Magdalene and another woman named Mary went to look at the tomb. At that time, there was a strong earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, went to the tomb, and rolled the stone away from the entrance. Then he sat on the stone. He was shining as bright as lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The soldiers guarding the tomb shook with fear because of the angel, and they became like dead men. This is verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know what you are looking for. Jesus, who has been crucified, he is not here. He has risen from the dead." Woo. Come on, man. I got one out of that. He's risen from the dead, as he said he would. Come and see the place where his body was. And go quickly and tell his followers, Jesus has risen from the dead. Amen. He is going to Galilee ahead of you, and you will see him there. Then the angel said, "Now I have told you. Now I've told you what Easter is." I want you to write this down. The crucifixion means nothing if Jesus doesn't rise from the dead. Amen. The crucifixion means nothing without Jesus rising from the dead. It means nothing. You know how many people got crucified on a cross? A lot. It was a common thing. Jesus wasn't the only one that had been nailed to a cross. There'd been a lot of men nailed to a cross. But Jesus was the only one who lived again. Christ is risen. Amen. So tonight, I'm going to ask you to take up your cross. And if you choose to, guess what? You're chosen. You're chosen just like Simon was. If you choose to take up your cross, Jesus took his cross up. If you choose to take up your cross, you're chosen just like Simon was to help carry that cross. So tonight, I'm getting a lot of use out of this thing every year. Amen. God gives me a new idea every year, though. It's really cool. There's a bunch of little crosses on here. And so I'm going to lead us in the third step prayer. I want you to say it with me. And if you choose to say it with me, you're taking up your cross. Come up here and get you one of these off the cross. Literally, take up your cross. Guess what? You're chosen. Take one for somebody else. You can have that person in your brain. You might keep it. It might be a reminder to you about others, putting others first, denying yourself, putting someone before yourself. Pick up your cross and one for someone else. But first, join me in the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may I do your will always. Amen. Come as you feel led.